Well, greetings again, friends and brethren. Here we are at the last service of the last great day of God's Feast of Tabernacles 2008. Now, when I was trying to ponder a while back on what to do for this final message, it kind of came to me, especially with a lot of the recent news and what's going on in the economy. There's, you know, 2009, when you begin to hear economists and politicians begin to worry to the point that they're saying that the year 2009 ahead of us could be a who knows what, very interesting year. A lot could happen very, very fast during this coming year, and the main thing we need to always do is be ready in that. But we're going to be living in, we already are in a way, in a sense, spiritually, but physically and spiritually, very soon we're going to be living in perilous times, very perilous times, dark times. So, and as I mentioned to some of you individually, as time goes on, it's going to take more and more faith on our behalf to continue believing God's word and his promises. There's going to be times when it looks like, how is he really going to deliver us? Is he really? But his word does say that. So if you need a title for this message, it's Running on Faith. Running on Faith. And what I want to try to do is just encourage us through some just a few scriptures that I have here is all I have in front of me, and just hopefully try to encourage us all, and myself included, on prepare to, from this point on, to really live by faith. And it's not a false faith that we muster up. It's not an emotion or a feeling. The Bible has a simple definition of faith. If we have time, we'll go there, but it's in Hebrews 11, verse 1, the substance of things not seen. But we have to look, and what I want to point out is how the word faith is used in different contexts in the Bible, especially the New Testament. And I've mentioned many times in my messages, and what I mean by that is when you talk about the faith of Jesus Christ, it's his faith or belief system. We need to live by that very faith. That's living by the faith of Christ himself. And faith, in its most simplest definition, as Mr. Armstrong said many times, is just simply to believe. So faith in God's word means you believe it. So faith in its most simplest definition just simply means believe, to believe. But now that we were talking about the faith of the first century apostles or the faith of Jesus Christ, many times it's used in the context, and you can look at that up in a dictionary or encyclopedia, it's talking about a belief system, like the Catholic faith. See, that's their religion. The Christian faith, that's the Christian religion. So, and we have the very faith of Jesus Christ, I hope. So let's begin by looking at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Christ says, well, let's begin in verse 7 of Luke 18. It says, "And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you," verse 8, "that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" So when we look around today at the Church of God as a whole, there's really not much faith there. They've lost faith in that belief system of Jesus Christ, that way of life, those truths and doctrines. And that's one of the things I'm going to touch on here, that faith is an all-encompassing word. It means all of those, all that good news, all those truths and doctrines, that true gospel that was, which is all-encompassing of what God revealed and restored in the end time. So today, as the church as a whole, it does not have faith. So Christ knew it was going to be a situation like this in the very end, to where when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Hopefully by the end of this, we'll see and answer that question, that he will. Notice Galatians chapter 1. I can find it. Too many carbs for lunch. Galatians chapter 1, and notice just briefly there in verse 23, this is talking about Paul. Actually, verse 22, he says, "I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy." So it shows Paul was showing his conversion here. But see, what did he preach? He preached the faith, or those teachings of Jesus Christ. Notice, we keep going forward in Galatians here, to chapter 6. We'll try to move quickly here. Galatians chapter 6. And notice verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially, listen to this, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, who is that? It's God's church. Let's see. So when we do good, we want to do that especially to the household of faith, because the world simply has not been called, or nor do they understand yet. They will at some time. And I've seen a lot of that here at this feast, a lot of doing good, especially to the household of faith. Go forward, please, to Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 4. Notice, beginning in verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit. Well, today, see, we see many divisions of that one body, or the church, what was the church of God, a united worldwide church of God. But Christ says he's only got one body, and we need to make sure we know where it's at and have faith in that one body. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called and one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord and one faith, one baptism. See, one faith, not many faiths. There's one faith, one belief system that was brought by Jesus Christ. And it had been basically destroyed or watered down and run underground for almost 1,900 years until the end time, when God raised up Mr. Herbert Armstrong. And guess what God restored through him was that faith of Jesus Christ, that belief system, that faith, all those lost truths. See? Notice, we'll actually drop down to verse 13 here. It says, verse 11 says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, not the bodies, the body, one, singular. Until we all come to the unity of what? The faith. Unity of the faith. So that really kind of goes in with what we kind of began this feast with, that Psalms 133. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice now, Philippians, go forward to Philippians. I'll try to make this as easy as possible, so you just keep going forward. Philippians chapter 1, and notice verse 27, it says, let your conduct, or in the Old King James, I think it says conversation, or something of that. Anyway, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you will do what? Stand fast in one spirit. So that's what we try to do. That's what our whole thrust of our warning work is today through the website, to warn God's people to get back to that standing fast in that one spirit and holding fast, so that we'll be what? With one mind. Which mind is that? Dan Koren's mind? No, the mind of Jesus Christ, see, one mind. Striving together for what? The faith of the gospel, see? Belief in that gospel, that belief system. Notice also Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And beginning in we'll go to verse 21. It says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. See, us once were converted and brought into the body of Christ. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Verse 23, if, see, there's an if indeed you continue. That's what we have to do, is continue in the faith. See, that's what we continue in. We want to continue in the faith. That's that belief system of Jesus Christ. That's not a feeling we work up. We continue in the faith, which has got the very belief system of Jesus Christ. What he taught his apostles, what he has revealed and restored and taught his end time apostle, therefore the church of God. How many today are doing that? Grounded and steadfast, and are, listen to this, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. How many today have moved away from that hope? See? Moved away from that hope of the gospel, which you heard. We heard it, brethren. See? Which was preached unto every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. Notice, now forward. Well, chapter 2. Let me see. What's, yeah, chapter 2. I have trouble reading my own writing. Can you read that? chapter 2 and verse 7. It's very good here. It says, well, let's start in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That's how we walk in Him, by following what He believes. Notice verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established, what? In the faith. Established in the faith, as you have been taught. How have we been taught? Through God's apostle. First century apostles and the end time apostle. As we have been taught, abounding in it. In what? In that faith or belief system. And how do we do it? With thanksgiving. Are we thankful, brethren, for that faith and belief system that God has revealed to us? When 99.99999% of the world can't even begin to comprehend this truth. See how special that is? That's the blessings that come from heaven that God talks about. But we look forward to the time that this day actually represents, this last great day, when God is going to raise up all mankind, all who have ever lived, and they'll have those scales, spiritual scales, pulled away, and God will make available His Spirit and truth for the first time. Oh, how I look forward to this day. It's a wonderful capstone in the plan of God, and even that is only the completion of the first step towards all eternity. Let's go forward to 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 3. And I think I have verse 9 here. Okay, well, I'll just start with verse 8. Get it in context. This is talking about deacons, but it really applies to anyone. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given too much wine. That's why I like whiskey. Not greedy for money. Holding the mystery. Now, that word mystery just literally means hidden truth. It is hidden to the world. It's becoming hidden again to many of God's own people. Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Actually, we'll just go ahead and read the next few verses. But let these also first be tested. Let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. See, not just some. And it's interesting, it says faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and households well. I love this next verse. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in what? Babbling? No. In the faith. What faith? The faith of Jesus Christ, that same belief system. And the reason why we have a couple of deacons today doing this is because the ministry has failed to do it. Where are they? Where are they, brethren? So we have to have one or two with a few more ragtag bandoleros, spiritually bandoleros that don't mind standing up for God's truth and dying for it necessary, because the ministry has utterly failed. They have failed utterly. Notice chapter 4. Go over to chapter 4. In beginning of verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, well, here we are. Here we are in the latter times. Some will depart from what? The faith. You can't depart from something unless you had it. So these are people that had the faith of Jesus Christ, that belief system and the understanding of it, and they departed from it. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Dropping down to verse 6 for sake of time, it says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, well, that's the things of what? Of Christ's faith or belief system. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith. See, what words? The words of faith, right here in this book. And of the good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. So that's where we are, brethren. We're following the good doctrine, not doctrines of men or doctrines of choice. We don't have a choice. If we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we follow His doctrines and those that He established through His apostles. We don't follow doctrines of men, nor do we choose which doctrines which we want to follow. It's not a choice program. If you want to do that, then you go out into the world or go into one of these watered-down churches of God that pick and choose which doctrines they want to follow. So it's all for one or one for all. We have to go all the way or get off the fence and go away. And that's, we're living in a time where we're going to have to really understand what that means. It's all or nothing. We either go forward in faith, the faith and belief system of Jesus Christ, or we will not make it into the kingdom of God. I won't, and neither will any of you, if we don't go forward in that faith and belief system that Christ revealed and restored through his word and through his end time apostle. Which that tells me and you, or it should, that we should have already proven these. If not, we better be proving them, every single one of them. And when you do, don't ever let it go. Don't ever let go of it. Time is too short. Notice chapter 6. Chapter 6. And just one verse here. Verse 10, just the one verse of 1 Timothy. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from what? Strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, that's happened to many of God's ministers here in the end time and many of his own people because they put work first and Sabbath second. You know, it's a simple thing to them. But God says that Sabbath is the one day that's the sign between him and his people. Notice 2 Timothy now. Actually, so while we're in chapter 6, let's look at the very end of it, beginning in verse 20. Paul says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings in contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. Well, we see a lot of that today in and out of these churches. Verse 21, by professing it, some have, that's the false knowledge, some have strayed concerning the faith. See, that belief system, that's the context that's used in. The faith, that's the belief system and teachings of Christ that he taught to his apostles, and those apostles were teaching it right there. Notice now 2 Timothy chapter 2. Actually, we begin... sake of time, I'll try to read it quickly, beginning in verse 14 to get the context. Remind them of these things, charging them before the eternal not to strive about words, not to profit to the ruin of the hearers. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Well, there's a lot of increase in that here in the end time. Verse 17 says, and their message will spread like cancer. Verse 18 says, who have strayed, these two fellows just mentioned there, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. So by these vain and profane babblings, you could cause a brother or sister to become weak in the faith. And that's what's happened in a lot of these offshoots and splinters. Hopefully it's not happened with us. Hopefully we've already experienced enough of that to realize that we need to come out of that, those vain and profane babblings. Notice chapter 3 in verse 8. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning what? The faith. That's the belief system of Jesus Christ. So when you understand deeply that faith and belief system, you'll be able to prove and reprove who's teaching faithfully the Word of God and who's holding fast to it. Very simple, once we have a grasp of it and understand it. Many people today don't, in these offshoots, don't even know what's being taught, what their actual doctrines are. I asked one lady a couple of years ago in one of the larger offshoots, well, what do y'all teach about the place of safety? Is it what Mr. Armstrong taught? And she goes, well, you know, I don't even know what we... She looked over at her husband. Do you know what we believe anymore on that? She didn't even know what she believed or what they believed, much less what was being taught. How shameful. You know, a simple little thing. And that's not necessarily a doctrine that we have to be that concerned about because God's going to take us wherever it is. It's a matter of faith, that doctrine. Just believe that he's going to do it. But she didn't even know what they were teaching anymore. And I wonder how many that still applies to today. Look at chapter 4. Just keep going forward a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 7. This is what Paul says at the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What faith did he keep? The belief system and teachings of Jesus Christ. That true doctrine, that true gospel. See, that gospel that Mr. Armstrong preached around the world and also to God's own people as they became converted and the temple was being built, that true gospel encompassed all. Yes, it was about the kingdom of God. It encompassed all of those truths and doctrines, see, that we as God's people live by. Today, you know, we can look in Galatians there. Mr. Armstrong touched the other day about Paul. He says, I marvel that some of you, and he's talking to the brethren, some of you have already turned from this gospel to another, which is not another, but there'll be some that pervert the gospel. And that's what's happened in the end time. That truth, that gospel as a whole, the truth and doctrines have been perverted. Now let's look at Titus. I'll try to wrap this up quickly as possible. Titus chapter 1. There is no chapter. It's just Titus verse 13. Titus verse 13. Oh, it's chapter 1, I'm sorry. I was thinking I was in Jude. It's Titus 1, verse 13. It says, this testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply. Now, let's actually go back to verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of what? The circumcision. Who is that? That's the household of God. Conversion. Those that are converted. But listen to what we have to do. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. So there's a lot of that going on in God's church today. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, well, let's just go down here to verse 13. It says, this testimony is true. Therefore, this is what we have to do, and I've had to do, and part of what our work is, rebuke them sharply. Why? It's to sharply divide these words of truth so they can be corrected. They don't accept the correction. But we can't sit back and let it be watered down. Not when it comes my way. I'm not going to let that happen. I already fell into that trap many years ago. So rebuke them sharply that they may... Why? Here's the purpose of sharp rebuke. That they may be sound in the faith. Not loose and iffy and maybe a little flighty or sitting on the fence. But sound in the faith. Okay, let's turn to... Well, I'm going to skip Hebrews chapter 11 because that's, I had mentioned before, that is the faith chapter as a whole. And it gives the classic definition of faith that we've all read so many times. But what I'm trying to focus on here is encouragement of what we need to do when we go forward. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 7, it says, verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Can any of us agree with that? Yes, we can. But, verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, see, our faith needs to be genuine, not false, not fake. We have a real belief system here, brethren, the faith and belief system of Jesus Christ, being much more precious than gold that perishes. See, can't put a price on this truth. So it is tested by fire, and it's going to be tested by fire in the weeks and months to come ahead of us, brethren. I can guarantee you that. That you may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So our faith is going to be tested. That's a guarantee. God didn't draft us into this spiritual army to sit on our rears. That's going to... We're going to have to be tested and tried by fire. And if you haven't been, strap on your seat belts because you will be. And you want to make sure you're grounded and sound in that faith and belief system so you won't be shaken away from it when severe trials do come. Notice in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, and in verse 9, it says, resist him. That's talking about Satan there in verse 8, the devil. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. See, that's the first, you look in... I think it's Ephesians 6 there about the armor, putting on the armor of God. But that gives you some good tools to work with. But it says here, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So we're not alone. We have brothers and sisters in the faith that couldn't make it here with us. And they're enduring the same trials that we are. And they're wondering sometimes, can this be all there is? Are we really clinging on to all what there is that Christ revealed to us? And they said, if we did hold fast to it, you will receive your crown. Well, apparently, you know, there's many scriptures that indicate there's only going to be a very small remnant. It's a very small remnant. The good news is there's going to be 144,000 first fruits at the end of the tribulation. So many will repent during that tribulation, that severe fire that's going to come ahead of us. Notice Jude verse 3. Here's something that we earnestly try to do. Jude verse 3, it says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly," see, "with all your heart, for the faith which was once delivered to all the saints." So that's the faith and belief system that we want to earnestly contend for. And see, that, and that word contend means sometimes it's going to be a little bit of a, that doesn't mean it comes easy. You have to strive for it. You have to contend for that faith. It's something worth fighting for. Finally, to close, let's look at Revelation chapter 17. And this should hopefully answer the question that we began with in Luke 18, verse 8, where Christ says, "When he returns, will he really find faith?" Well, here comes an answer right here. And by the grace of God, and thank God that there will be faith. Revelation chapter 17, and notice verse 14. It says, now let's begin back here. Verse 12 is talking about the ten horns, which are of that European Union, that beast power. And verse 13 says, "These," that's of the beast power, "of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." Verse 14 says, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those that are with him," this is where we want to be, "are called, chosen, and" what? "Faithful." So there will be faithful when he returns, because when he returns with these saints, that means they're qualified for the kingdom. So the answer to that question at the beginning, yes, he will find faith. Not very much of it at first. Some of that faith will have to be tried by fire in a great tribulation, with looks like from what the book of Lamentations and other places show, unfortunately, the vast majority of God's people. I hope none of us will have to do that. So I hope this has been helpful. I just want you to all be encouraged as we go back. Yes, it's a little bit of a sad day, but when you understand what this day represents in the plan of God, the hope of salvation for all mankind being opened up for the first time, it's so very exciting. So it's like God knows, it's a little bit sad for us to keep it in the picturesque form, but when it's fulfilled, when it's actually fulfilled, it's going to be such a tremendous time. Guess who's going to be there to help Christ, to help with all those millions and billions that come up? Resurrected saints that have already been alive for 1,000 years on this earth with Christ. So we still have a lot of training to do even after we become spirit. We'll have 1,000 years of more training, because whenever that resurrection happens at the end, it is going to be a lot of people that need help. But he'll have a lot of teachers that with a lot of experience under their belt when that happens. And you know what they're going to all have? The faith of Jesus Christ, that belief system. So, till next time, do take care, my brethren. I love you all.